Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Ukraine went on the offensive against Russian forces along its sprawling front line yesterday, advancing with Western supplied tanks, artillery and assault brigades in what some have described as the opening salvo of its long-awaited counter-offensive. However, explosions destroyed a vast Soviet-era dam in Russian-controlled southern Ukraine overnight, with thousands of people forced to flee from their homes. Well, just before I came on air, I spoke with Lesia Vasilenko, Ukraine MP, and I began by asking her about the devastation unleashed by the collapse of the Novokhachovka Dam.
Well, we have been notified that it will take 2 days for the water to go down to critical levels and then 4 days to have no water in the reservoir whatsoever. The Kakhovka water reservoir used to supply water to two critical water canals that were providing drinkable, potable water to the regions of Kherson, Zaporizhia, part of the Dnipropetrovsk region. So we're talking about tens of thousands of people who will be deprived of drinking water throughout a rather hot summer, because summers in that part of Ukraine get really hot, maybe over 30 degrees up to 40.
And I believe whole towns and villages are fleeing downstream.
That is also true. So far, as of this morning, over 1,000 people have been already evacuated. Train carriages have been supplied to the Kherson region to get people to safety. Unfortunately, the fate of many people and many towns is unknown, since they are on the left bank of the river Dnipro, which is under Russian occupation.
Is there a sense of panic? Have there been any fatalities as of yet?
We are still waiting for the information. It is very early to tell. We have had briefings from our emergency services, from the Ministry of the Environment. However, information is being gathered literally as we speak. This is a huge, huge catastrophe caused by the Russian military and by the Russian Federation. Actually, not a catastrophe, it's a war crime. It's an ecocide which has been committed against Ukraine. And to be honest, it's not something we could have expected, because the areas which are suffering at the moment at the most are the areas which are under Russian occupation and under Russian control.
And they have denied, Lesia, responsibility for this. Indeed, Russia says it's launching a criminal investigation into the blowing up of the dam. What do you say to that?
Ukraine has launched a criminal investigation. Similarly, I mean, for us, it's just another bunch of Russian lies and propaganda which we need to deal with. But in all honesty, the damage that has been caused to Ukraine will take decades to repair, millions and millions of euros, and actually, some of that damage might be irreparable.
You called it ecocide. The German foreign minister has called this an environmental catastrophe as well. And I believe 150 tons of engine oil from the hydroelectric plant has seeped in to the river. That will cause utter devastation.
Absolutely, because it will flow, it will impact other water sources, rivers, lakes alike. We are looking at the fact that the region, the southern Ukrainian region, will be turned into a desert, essentially, because the land which is likely to be flooded in the coming days, the water will recede, and what it will leave behind is just sands. And with no water source, there will be no livelihood in those areas. This is why we are firm on calling this the crime of ecocide committed by the Russian Federation, because whole ecosystems will be affected. And actually, this will impact change, environmental change, not just in Ukraine, but way beyond Ukraine's borders, impacting climate change, impacting global warming, and causing, as I said, absolutely irrevocable consequences.
We haven't spoken yet about the threat or the risk to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Can you explain to people why people are concerned in the area about that and the likelihood of any danger?
Initial concerns were voiced as the water from the Novokakhovka reservoir was used to furnish the water resources around the Zaporizhia power plant, used to cool off the reactors of this largest nuclear power plant in Europe. However, we have been assured today by the nuclear authorities of Ukraine that there is no risk at the moment, because most of the reactors have been shut off by the Russian military, which is again in control of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant and using it as a military base rather than to its true purpose as a power plant.
What now, Lesia, in terms of restoring or repairing the dam? Who does that? I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, that the dam is under Russian control as well.
Part of it is. And at the same time, we are still, it's still too early to assess the dangers, damage, to see how we can repair it. The information which I received this morning as a member of parliament was that it seems that it will be largely irreparable, and that the structures have been damaged severely by the water flow, by the heavy water flow released in one go. However, there's still assessment teams on the ground, and perhaps we can hope for the better that we can do repairs rather than a full reconstruction.
Finally, can I ask you about the Ukraine counteroffensive? They're on the move.
The counteroffensive is going according to plan. We have so far received just enough weapons and ammunition to carry this out, but we are hoping that deliveries of what has been agreed with our international partners will keep coming at a steady pace for our men and women to be able to regain Ukrainian territory swiftly and by the fall of fall and winter.
And that was Lesia Vasilenko, Ukraine MP, speaking with me just before we came on air. Well, for more analysis on this situation in Ukraine, I'm joined by John Everard, who's a former UK ambassador to Belarus. Good evening to you, John.
Good evening.
I want to ask you about the counteroffensive in just a second, but in the last few moments, President Zelensky's chief of staff has been saying that he simply doesn't understand any doubts that Russian forces blew up the Novokakhovka dam. Would you be in agreement?
There are no certainties in this war, but I think the very, very strong probability is that that is precisely what has happened. Firstly, the Russians have much stronger motives for destroying that dam than the Ukrainians. Flooding fields would slow a Ukrainian advance, particularly if they are using heavy armour. Secondly, President Zelensky has said that Ukraine simply could not have hit that dam. It doesn't have the capacity to do so. Now, I haven't seen a full military analysis of those remarks, but I suspect he's right, that it can only have been the Russians.
And they're being accused of a war crime, if that is the case as well, given the devastation and destruction as a result. Can I ask you about the counteroffensive, the Ukraine counteroffensive? We have spoken with you on this programme in anticipation of it before, John. Lesia Vasilenko, the Ukraine MP, says it's going according to plan. Do you think she's right?
Well, I have no reason to doubt her, but as nobody outside Kiev knows what the plan is, we can't really say, can we? What we do know is that certainly there's been a great deal of fighting. The UK Ministry of Defence just a few hours ago put out a statement that over the last 48 hours, there's been intense fighting in a number of areas along the front, including areas that have been quiet for months. There's been a lot of speculation by US military analysts that what is happening is that the Ukrainians are deploying a technique taught to them by the United States Army called reconnaissance through force, where you push forward quite hard against a range of different positions along the front line, probing for weaknesses, probing for vulnerabilities, and you then decide where you're going to launch your main attack. And that at least fits with what we've observed so far.
So a lot of these attacks along the front line that Ukraine is trying to penetrate, at least at the moment, could be diversionary at the very most, could they?
They could be diversionary. They could be simply exploratory. It could be that the Ukrainian High Command has simply yet to decide where it's going to launch the single biggest attack. Mm-hmm. The Ukrainians, quite understandably, are not commenting on what is going on. Silence is the plan's friend, as the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense has said. So we don't know which of the alternatives is right at the moment.
What about the advances made by Ukraine forces southwest of Bakhmut? According to Yevgeny Prigozhin, who's the leader of the infamous, at this stage, Wagner mercenary group, he has acknowledged that those Ukrainian forces have made advances. That will be music to the ears of Kyiv, won't it?
Yes, it will. Prigozhin has been seriously off message from the Kremlin's point of view for a long time, revealing important facts about the war that the Kremlin has been has been at pains to conceal. There appears to have been Ukrainian advances to the south of Bakhmut. Separately, Russian military bloggers have reported that German-made Leopard tanks have advanced elsewhere around Bakhmut. It's not just in the village that Prigozhin was talking about, which adds weight to the growing theory that the Ukrainians have decided to do effectively what the Red Army did in Stalingrad in the Second World War. You remember in Stalingrad, the Red Army allowed the Germans to take the city and then encircled them when they were in the city and therefore cut off the supply lines. We might be watching a similar maneuver now.
And if that is the case... Sorry, I was just going to say, John, if that is the case, a key question for Ukraine, no matter what they do, I suppose, is if they have enough of a supply of weapons and armour. I mean, could that be... do they have enough, in your opinion? They keep calling for more and more.
Yes, the rate at which you consume weapons and particularly munitions in modern war is absolutely breathtaking. You can never have enough either of munitions, armour, or for that matter, soldiers. The Foreign Ministry yesterday said that they had enough now, but enough now might well not be enough in a few weeks' time. And as your previous correspondent was saying, Ukrainians hope that deliveries of modern Western weaponry continue at a steady pace. On the Russian side, there's been signs of strain on that for a long time. The Russians have been using older and older equipment, ammunition that appears to be failing, probably dug out of long-forgotten Soviet-era stores, and some weaponry that seems to date from the 1950s.
Can I get your comment briefly on this? We know where this question or where this listener is coming from, but this listener says, are NATO poking the bear and wanting to demonise Russia further? So we know that listener's perspective, but what about what the likes of James Cleverly, the UK minister, has said, that it's okay for Ukraine to take the fight, the defence, outside of its borders? What say you to that, John? Oh, we've lost John, but we've got the most of his analysis on the current situation at the moment. We'll see if John's line can be reinstated. And if we do, we'll ask him that question. If not, we might just take a break at this stage. That's John Everard, former UK diplomat to Belarus. You can text the programme to 51551.